I'm excited. I'm sorry. I picked this topic. I love this movie.
It's a scary movie. It's a scary movie. And it still affects me just the same. I cannot put that on.
I gotta tell you, something about this movie worked for me. I was like, it rocked.
So, I mean, that's debatable. But, I mean, it's a great movie.
That, you know, it's my right as a viewer, as somebody who spends my money and time to go watch these films, to have my opinions and be disappointed.
But that's what I love about this group doing this podcast right now, is that on so many pages, we're like right there with each other. But then, I mean, it's almost inevitable that, you know, half the time we're going to go, you're out of your mind.
You are out of your mind. I'm sorry, but that's...
Welcome to the Midwest Monster Podcast. And now, here are your hosts.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another... episode? Exciting? Inciting? Maybe we could incite a riot with this sort of thing? I really just got confused there. Which, that'll come up later in a story that I'm going to tell in this episode about when I met a certain somebody and really just talked just like I did right there.
Are you still talking?
Unfortunately, I am. Let's try that again. Anyways, friends, welcome back. Midwest Monsters Podcast. Glad to have you listening to us. We got a special show lined up for you today. We're going to talk about a horror convention that we recently attended. That was Days of the Dead in Indianapolis.
Best horror con in the Midwest.
Yep. No arguments there.
I had just a fantastic time, and so we kind of want to recap some things that happened at that show and some folks that we interviewed during our time there, and so hopefully we ran into some of you there. We know we did, had a really good time. So, I mean, Mad Chan kind of got us started there. What's your opening thoughts here? What do you want to say about this?
Oh, man, I love Days of the Dead. Professor and I we covered Chicago last year. We all got to cover Indy this year. It's an amazing show. They always bring the best in entertainment. They bring some of those out of the way guests that you wouldn't expect. They've got the horror guests like on point. They even bring in a few pop culture people, a few musical guests. I mean, it's a little bit of something for everybody, because even though we are horror fans, it's a quote unquote horror convention. Uh-huh. We're all pop culture fans. I mean, we all like different things. Like, you got to see people like Erie Vaughn, and like, that was amazing. And Sherry Curry from The Runaways. And it's always neat when you can see things like that. You can do things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Professor,
so I love it.
They did it again. Every time we go to their conventions, it's just the best. I mean, even when there's a dilemma or a problem, they're on it. They take care of it. So I had another really fun weekend. Like, I pretty much have always had with them. I mean, from volunteering in the past at one to us traveling out of town to go to, like, one of, like you said, in Chicago, they're just always fun. So,
yeah. Well, I had a fantastic time. I haven't been to a Days of the Dead convention since 2011, I think it was.
You've had things up in the mix, it seems like.
Yeah, every time they come, it's usually in this time of late June, early July, and I'm usually out of town. So I could not attend. So I've missed it for 3 years solid, but it was good to be back. And the show has just changed. It's just grown exponentially since the first one. Was that that? That wasn't the first one, but that was the first one I went to in 2011.
Right.
I think they'd done one or two before that.
No. You went to the first Days of the Dead with me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's when we met Heather and Rowdy Piper and stuff like that. Yeah. So, it was a fun show back then, but still lacking some things. And I think this really showed how much they've grown at putting a convention together, because this had everything I wanted. So it was perfect. If I could say a perfect weekend at a con, this was a perfect weekend at a con for me.
And real quick, as we're getting started and we're reaching into this episode, we got to give big ups to Adolfo Dorda, Bill Philput, Rick Lara. Those are the guys that bring you Days of the Dead. Mm-hmm. And then another big up to Jason Hoover of Jab Pictures. Jason's kind of like our rock.
Yeah.
You know, with Days of the Dead, he's the one who helped get us covering the show, and he's an amazing cat too.
Kind and generous.
All four of these guys show us nothing but love when we come through. Mm-hmm. So we really appreciate you guys, and thank you.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Absolutely. Well, one of the first things I want to talk about here, and again, this kind of throws back one of the original complaints I remember people having with Days of the Dead 11 back in 2011.
Was that, I like the way you just name them. You're like, Days of the Dead 11, 43, hype.
Was people complained back then there wasn't enough merch because a lot of us like to get merch at the shows.
Right, right, right.
Was not a problem at this show.
Oh, no, and it hasn't been for a while.
Really. Lots of great merch. Lots of great merch.
And I think that may just be because it's now becoming bigger and more well-known. So it's like, if I'm a vendor and I've got three different events that I can choose from to book myself for, well, I know this one's big now and in the area. Why wouldn't I go to that? So I think that as it's grown, it's grabbed the attention of more and more vendors because, yeah, it's definitely, I mean, it's a lot bigger and crammed and a wide variety of things in there now.
Yeah. What's some of the good merch you guys picked up?
I love a print I got of Night of the Demons that an artist made, and it down at the bottom, it's real small, but it tells like the dates and the convention, and that, you know, it was the cast reunion, so I thought that was really cool. Did you just vomit?
I did, yeah. That was a good
I've already got it up in a frame on the walls. Cool. So I'll include the artist's information on there for listeners to check out. He does some pretty cool stuff.
Did you get that signed by anybody?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah. Cool. Mad Jan.
I picked up 8-Bit Jason.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You did. Yeah.
But I didn't pick it up for myself. I got it. I bought it for a buddy. Mm-hmm. And this, you don't see it. I had the pleasure of getting it when it first came out, but I found it way cheaper than it is anywhere online at the show. And out of the eight shows since last Days of the Dead Indianapolis, nobody's had it. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of neat being able to pick that up.
Yeah.
Other than that, man, I mainly bought some DVDs. I always like to buy, I try to buy an indie DVD or two at each show.
Uh-huh.
And like I picked up Time to Kill. Mm-hmm. And then I picked up some stuff for the wife. The serial killer stuff. She, you know, we're kind of into serial killer culture and mm-hmm. things like that. So I picked up a couple of those.
Cool.
I'm not as much into buying the patches and the koozies as some of the other people I know. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of, I'm always on the lookout if there's that toy or that collectible. I love buying posters. Like I bought a Rose McGowan poster for Days of the Dead Chicago, which Rose McGowan's going to be a guest. So I bought a poster. That's pretty much what I do.
Cool. Cool. I got a couple cool t-shirts. I picked up a Jesco White t-shirt. We'll talk about Jesco here in just a little bit. I picked up an El Santo t-shirt
because
I'm a big wrestling fan and a big Lucha Libre fan, so it's not often that I come across an El Santo t-shirt. So picked that up, and as Mad Chan called me out earlier, bought a bunch of patches as he was hating. I buy patches from places I travel and also horror movie patches. Horror movie patches are really hard to find.
Yeah,
so, like, you know, good horror movie patches.
Right, right. And so Mad Chan caught me in the act of just going nuts at this booth. I think I picked up like 10 to 15 patches because you can't find them.
Well, let's talk about this vendor room for a second since we've all kind of talked about stuff we bought. Like the vendor room at this convention in particular, man, there's 13th Floor had their prints there. I didn't think they were going to be there. You've got three or four different poster vendors. You've got people that are home making stuff. You've got the bootleg table, the quote-unquote bootleg tables. You got the VHS table. I mean, set up. There's always something for everybody there. If you are a horror collector, you like merch, you like toys, you like individual things, off-the-wall things, t-shirts, man, there's something there for you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, furthermore, to make your point, I mean, the El Santo t-shirt, out of the ordinary. I also, this guy had a bunch of wrestling stuff. I picked up a Dusty Rhodes figure.
Nice. Right,
yeah,
right.
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, daddy. I got a figure of him from, like the 96, 97... No, earlier than that, like the 92, 93 collection.
Right.
So, yeah, really excited about that. A comic book. I picked up a comic book I've been looking for,
right.
Crossed, written by Garth Ennis, at least the first run of it was. So, yeah, just a wide variety of cool stuff to pick up.
Yeah, I got a lot of random things, too. Patches, magnets.
Yeah, I picked up a couple magnets,
Mad
too.
Chan found me a cool replica of the photo that Jack Nicholson is in at the end of The Shining.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that was really awesome. That's proudly up on my wall now. So I like things like that where it's not huge and overdone. It's just subtle, understated, and exactly like it is in the movie. So that was a cool find. And
what'd your dad think of it?
pretty cool.
I bet he was
yeah.
pumped.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah,
that's so, cool. Yeah, the merch, it was exciting to see how much that's expanded. Because, I mean, there was a lot of cool artists there in the past, but it's just really balanced out now. There's just a lot of everything. So that was a lot of fun.
Cool.
So along with the merchandise tables that come with horror conventions, one of the big things is guests.
Totally.
You got to talk about guests.
Yeah.
Who'd you meet, Chris?
I'll just do a rundown of who I met, and later we'll talk about memorable moments. I met Miss Tara Reed.
Yeah.
The lovely Tara Reed.
Yeah.
Mad Chan met her as well.
Yep.
Had a good experience there. Met Mr. Derek Mears.
Oh, yeah. Met him too. Yeah.
Another just excellent dude. Excellent dude.
I had an experience with Derek Mears at this convention.
Yeah. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Then I met David Naughton, American Werewolf in London fame, along with other things, obviously. And, the Dancing Outlaw, Jesco White.
Jesco White.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
10 long years.
For 10 long years. So I think that's all I met formally that I can remember. What about you, Professor?
Formally, I met Corey Feldman, which I'll have plenty of stories about that.
Oh, I still haven't heard about that.
I also met Linnea Quigley again. Got a poster signed by her. Funny story with that. David Naughton and Nancy Allen. And for listeners who don't recognize the name, Nancy Allen, she was in a lot of Brian De Palma's films early on. Carrie, Blowout, Dressed to Kill. She was in RoboCop. So she's definitely a face that's familiar once you start paying attention. And yeah.
Cool. Mad Chan, who'd you meet?
Of course, I met the lovely Tara Reed. I met the Nightbreed cast. I finished up a poster that I had originally signed by Doug Bradley and Simon Bamford at a different con. Oh, and Clive Barker at a different con. So I kind of picked up the various ones like Hugh Ross and Ann Bobby and Craig Sheffer. And so I rounded that out. And then Derek Mears, I had him sign a Jason mask that I've been holding on to since 2009, since the remake came out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if I was ever going to have him sign it, but he's a very cool guy, so seemed about the time.
Very cool.
But let's talk about some of the guests that, people we didn't meet that were just there, though.
Oh, yeah, great lineup.
Seriously, it was an awesome lineup. Mm-hmm. Of course, they had slated Dario Argento, and Argento had to bow out because of a personal injury.
Yeah. Fell down the steps and got a head injury and was a crybaby about it. Yeah.
No, that's a joke. That's a joke. We appreciate that. For those of you who don't understand sarcasm. But no, I mean, that Argento was one. Tara Reed was one. Corey Feldman was there. Sherry Curry from The Runaways was there. Harry Vaughn.
Stephen Piercy.
Stephen Piercy, which we had the pleasure, man. We got to hang out with Stephen Piercy.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, man, it was amazing.
Save it.
Then you had other people like Robert Mukes from House of a Thousand Corpses. Uh-huh. He was the original Rufus. Tyler Mayne played him in Devil's Rejects, but he was the original Rufus.
Just then, giant.
Jesco White, the Dancing Outlaw, like we mentioned before.
Night of the Demons.
Lawrence Harvey. Uh-huh. From Human Centipede 2 and 3, Night of the Demons, almost complete cast reunion. Like I said, the Nightbreed reunion, Bill Moseley. I mean, man, they have so many guests.
Savini was there, not Karen.
Oh, yeah, Savini was there as well.
Vampire Santa was there.
Oh, Sal. Kevin Tenney?
Yeah.
Sal Lizard.
Sal Lizard,
amazing.
Yeah.
I like what you
Sybil Danning.
Sybil Danning was there.
Yeah,
Camilla
right.
Keaton from...
I'll say Tawny.
Tawny Kitaen. Oh man, Tawny Kitaen.
Yeah, man.
All it took was a smile from Tawny Kitaen. I couldn't even meet her. I'm sorry, dude. I was just.
She makes your teeth sweat.
Son.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a great show. Great lineup. Well, why don't we cut to one of the interviews that we did there?
Oh yeah. So we every time we go to a convention, we do convention coverage. We try to interview. Three or four different people, and you know, this time we interviewed Ann Bobby. She played Lori in Nightbreed, and she was just an amazing person. I love her accent. We just asked a few different questions about conventions and things like that. So let's go ahead and shoot into that interview right now.
Sweet.
Hey, monsters, this is Matt Chan, Midwest Monsters Podcast. I'm here with Ann Bobby from Nightbreed. How you doing today, Ann?
Good. What's going on?
I'm doing pretty good. So, Ann, we are at the Wonderful Days of the Dead in Indianapolis, Indiana. How many conventions do you do a year?
I try to do one or two a year. I try to sort of keep it to two, go to parts of the country I don't get to, and I heard such wonderful things about this con, and I love the people. I love Bill, and it's just been a blast. It's been awesome. Just awesome.
Do you have a favorite convention moment from all the conventions that you've been doing?
I gotta tell you, man, every time I meet someone new who loves Nightbreed, it's just makes it all worth it. I love it all. I really, really do.
Right on. And I have to ask, because our fans would be mad if I didn't, what about the elusive Cabal cut of the movie? Have you seen this cut?
I have not seen the final. I have not seen the official. I have seen various permutations of the Cabal cut in South Carolina, in Cherry Hill, at the Portage, and the late lamented Portage in Chicago, San Francisco. Each con has a slightly different version as we get closer and closer to the final product. But no, have not seen it. It's the grail, isn't it?
And I guess our final one is, do you have any memorable stories from filming the movie?
Oh, man. Sure. Maybe singing You Made Me Love You to one of the berserkers.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Yeah, you know what? It was actually Nick Vince. I didn't know it was Nick, and I was sort of standing on the stage, and a hand came out and sort of grabbed me, and I sort of looked down, and there he was, and I just sang, You Made Me Love You. I didn't want to do it. And then later on, he came out, and he said, Hi, and I went, Hi, and he said, You don't know who I am, do you? And I said, No, and he went, You Made Me Love You. I was like, Oh, okay, great.
Well, we thank you for your time, and thank you for taking
so much. Thanks. Have a great one.
You too. Thank you.
Oh, no. Oh. So I said outside in the grass. The grass. GR. It was crazy.
And Ann Bobby, salt of the earth.
Oh, what a woman. What a woman.
Right.
Well, we hope you all enjoyed that interview. We got a couple more coming up for you here in just a little bit. But we want to, first we want to talk about some of our favorite moments from the con. Because, folks, there's merch. There's guests, but more importantly, there's moments.
Oh, listen, yeah. I just got to say something real quick. If you've never been in a hotel room with five men belching, farting, sniffing, scratching.
This is your favorite moment?
No, I'm just going to put this out there, man. Like, seriously, no, it was an amazing time because we get to go to these things. And not only did the three of us go, we had friends with us. We had, Todd was with us. A friend of the show, Sean, was with us. Like, we met friends up there, like Scott, one of our friends from Chicago, was up there, and then Francis, another guy we know from Chicago, and ladies that we met previous cons. Yeah, they were there. Like, well, there's
Amber,
all these people.
Amber, Niecy, and Morgan.
Oh yeah, and Amber, Niecy, Morgan, and then Ryan and Neil were there in lipstick gear, yeah, man. Like, yeah. Ryan Williams, you guys know, was on the was on a previous show,
Phantasm episode.
Exactly.
And our boy Teo was there.
Teo was there with this, man. Like, Teo's gonna be on a future show. I mean, these are all friends of the show, and we all get to experience these conventions together, and that's kind of what builds.
The army is growing.
And we also have the unnamed man who always upstages me in beer-carrying gear.
Yep.
His name is Bill Zabub, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that who that is?
Yes.
So I
didn't know if you ever knew that or not.
No, so I always show up, and I've got my hops holster, which is my belt that holds six beers. I'm very proud of. But this gentleman has a bandolero.
Explain to them what a bandolero is,
it's
sir.
Like when you watch the old cowboy movies and they've got a strap across their chest or a double strap and it holding all their bullets. He has one of those for beer, and his holds 12 beers. So I'd never try to stand too close to him because people like my beer belt, but then they see his bandolero, and they're
Highlander.
Like, "Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, you're chopped liver, buddy. This guy's way better."
And seeing the cool thing about it is, man, this guy always, like every convention, like he hung out with us all weekend. Like every time he's seen us, he'd walk over and talk, and just hanging out, just from a one time a glance and a goofy comment. A year ago.
Yeah.
This guy is still a friend of, like, every time
awesome
you see
dude.
Him.
Dude.
Like, you
see awesome. Him. Friendliest and dude. Likes to have a good time.
Yeah. Legally, he cannot wear a shirt that doesn't have expletives in it. That's what's beautiful about it is he's just so friendly. He's got his beers all over him, and then he'll have a shirt that says, like, I'm fat, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, I woke up Saturday morning and killed a beer and took a shot and was ready to get on my day. But Sunday is a completely different story. Like, by Sunday, you're like, oh, I'm partied out. This dude drank, I watched him drink 12 beers on Sunday looking for more at when the show was winding down. Love this dude.
Awesome, dude. Awesome, dude. So we get to share in all these moments with all these folks. And Chad from the Wrecking Crew in Louisville.
Oh, definitely.
Up there. Yeah, he came up too. So, I mean, just what a awesome time. So, yeah.
We made all these people up, by the way. We have literally no friends.
We actually sit in the corner and cry.
Hopefully some of them are listening to this show.
Yeah. We're trying to give all you shout-outs, so you better be listening to the show. No.
Anyways. I like the way you say that. He's like, you better be listening.
You better be listening. So, favorite moments, memorable moments. Mad Chan, what was something that really stood out for you?
I married a lesbian couple on Saturday.
That's true.
I did.
That happened.
I married a lesbian couple on Saturday. Gay marriage was legalized
for 2 days.
Yeah, literally, I think Wednesday or Thursday before the show, and friends of ours, Nisi and Amber, got their marriage license, and then they brought it to the hotel on Saturday, and I went ahead and signed it and made it all legal, and they got it turned in, and were officially married and made it in before they closed up shop and wouldn't allow any more licenses, and then we did an official ceremony on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be married by the Midwest Monsters, Grizz or Mad Chan can hook that up for you.
We can make it happen.
We can make it happen. And it doesn't just have to be at conventions, man. We can also do bar mitzvahs and christenings.
It's getting bigger. I'm the wedding photographer.
I would do it in a church
either. Yeah, seriously. The Midwest Monsters can marry you or do all sorts of religious type events for you.
As you were conducting that ceremony, just want to talk about it right now? I was snapping pictures all around
from
every angle I could and just trying to get what I could during that. And while I was taking those pictures, it was fun to watch the crowd begin to build.
Right.
Because as we always talked, it's very communal with this convention crowd. So it's like instantly people gravitate towards it. But then you've also got, employees of the hotel, people who just don't know what's going on. So it's like, it was really interesting to watch this, crowd start gathering around. But also what I thought was interesting during the whole thing was I was thinking, these are people that we met at a convention that we're now at the next one engaged in this with. I mean, to me, if you have a hard time explaining to someone the friendships you can make at these things, that's a pretty easy concept to get a grasp on. Like here we are, less than a year later with people we've kept in contact with, squeezing in this moment for history of, with Indiana and their meaningful, big leap forward. So it's just like, it was a really overwhelming little chunk of time. I'm sure even more so for the Mad Chan who was doing his thing in front of quite a few people.
Folks, you got to understand, these are a couple of a married couple now of ladies that the professor literally tripped over while one was proposing to the other one at the convention. They got engaged at a convention, and while one was on the ground, while Amber was on the ground proposing to Nisi, the professor didn't know what was going on, and he literally stepped over her on his way to me so we could get a beer. And then, less than a year later, we're marrying. I'm marrying them at another convention. Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty over the top, dude. That was an amazing moment.
Yeah.
Grizz, man. What's yours?
Well, I've got three great ones that I want to talk about, but I gotta say my top one was definitely my experience with Miss Tara Reed.
Oh, amazing chick, dude.
Yeah, just really friendly, nice lady. Got a picture with her. She looks fantastic, very friendly. But the best part came later when I posted the picture to Instagram. Grizzly Abner on Instagram, holla at your boy. got on there and I posted a picture with Tara Reed and just kind of, I didn't tag her, but I hashtagged her name in it. And she must check out who's hashtagging her name because one of my friends, commented, oh, so jealous, you're a lucky dude or whatever. Later, Tara Reed herself comments, you should be jealous. Grizzly Abner is my new stud. And let's just say, in my little circle of the world, it broke the internet.
Like, you guys don't understand. We're in the middle of a convention on a Saturday afternoon. And there's Friday afternoon. Hours. I'm sorry. Yeah, we're Friday afternoon. And cell phones are going off. The internet is shut down. Facebook pages have blown up. Because Tara Reid was like, Grizzly Abner is my new man.
And before I mention my favorite, I would just like to say, too, how when she was away from her table all weekend, how gracious she was with people.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it was unfair of me and many others to have what we thought would, in an opinion of what she would be.
But everybody does that, though.
Yeah.
Everybody
but it's just that. Like, you know, Party Girl, she's a very, you know, still a relatively well-known name. You just thought that she'd brush that stuff off.
Exactly.
And it couldn't have been, you know, further from the truth. While I was waiting in a line, one of the girl behind me went out for a cigarette. And while she's out there, I see her start talking to Tara Reid. And she must have been out there 20 minutes taking pictures, sharing stories, laughing. This is why, you know, she's trying to have her quiet moment outside away from all the fans.
Right.
And instead of being a bitch about it, every time you saw her away from her table, she's taking selfies with people, meeting people. Exactly. Like, didn't seem like she turned a single person away.
Kyle, man, my friend Kyle that came in from northern Indiana, Chicago area, he was outside sitting at a table beside where she was at while she was talking with another group of people. She ended up taking pictures with Kyle. They ended up talking for a while. Like, she was just a very personable person, man. Like, and the thing that I love so much about it was we'd always joked, I swear, because she did Days of the Dead Atlanta last year.
Okay.
Right. And I've been joking since Days of the Dead Atlanta that I want the Big Lebowski picture. I'd been joking about this. I want the Big Lebowski picture, and I wanted to sign the saying.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we get up to her table, and she's not down there yet. And her handler was just like, I was like, oh, dude, she's got the Big Lebowski picture. And her handler goes, she'll write that on there. She'll write the saying on there. And I was just like, no. I have a wife and children. Like, I can't put that on the wall because I have kids who can read and understand things. And the fact
that
he
proposed it to you that way.
Yeah, yeah. He was just like, she'll put that on there. Yeah. But at the same time, like, she was just so cool. That it was like, in under normal circumstances, I would have had no problem. Like, if I didn't have a wife and kids, I'd have probably proposed. But, you know. But seriously, no, she was amazing, dude. She was an amazing person.
Yeah.
And I can't keep talking about her. Professor.
My favorite moment, and we'll explain all this. But more in detail, but was having Jump Around come on by a DJ in Bard.
Scaryoke.
Yeah, Scaryoke,
man.
And the DJ would occasionally, you know, mix some stuff. And DJ people come out
Munchie,
and
baby.
And people would come out and dance. And he flipped it on to Jump Around, and people start going nuts. And I hear a harmonica start playing with it, and that's from Jessica White, who had been sitting with us at our table randomly and taking shots with Grizz. And I turn around to see what it was, and he was so close to me that he hit me in the face with his harmonica while he was playing it. And he's looking at people for reassurance, like having fun. Like he's like, yeah, check out the harmonica. So it's like at this moment, I'm sitting with a man that scared me not only in person, but when I'd watch him on TV and documentaries for how just outlandish he is. He's such a character, but when you realize that your evening may be taking a turn with him involved, one starts to wonder, where is this headed? But that, man, that was a bizarre moment, and that's something, you know, that happens at these things, like especially when you stay the weekend and you're there after hours and people are just mixed in there together. It's like it's nothing. I mean, he sat down
with us for a while.
Like, we didn't, you know, ask him to sit with
us. It wasn't like, Jesco, come here. It was more like, hey, man, there's a seat open with these guys. Let's go sit with them. Because, yeah. I mean, Lord knows, other people weren't sitting with us.
Well, and that's, you know, we'll just roll right into that. But, I mean, you know, especially for Chad and I mean, we love Jesco White.
Jesco White, man. If you're redneck, from Appalachia, you know who Jesco White is, and you love Jesco White.
And it's, you know, the story of Jesco White's an interesting one. We won't get into that. You need to watch The Dancing Outlaw 1 and 2 and The Wild Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. But He's just a, I don't know, I like Jesko. You know, I like hearing him tell stories and just obviously the whole story that came out of his dancing and learning from his father and just the wild story of their whole family is really interesting. So to be that close, I saw Jesko perform about 3 years ago, and that was fun, and I got to meet him then, but this was completely different because this was like just Jesko hanging out, you know, and playing harmonica in your face.
Right.
Yeah. To jump around. I can't stress that enough.
So there was one point in the evening during karaoke, DJ Munchie's on stage. Adolfo's on stage singing karaoke.
And quite nicely.
Quite nicely. I got to add, Adolfo's on stage singing karaoke. He's putting the mic out in the crowd. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, singing along with him, doing the best fat boy rendition of a dance I can do.
Is it Rebel Yell?
To Rebel Yell. Yeah, nice. But we're doing Rebel Yell. I come back. Grizz looks at me, he's like, "Hey, Jesko drank out that bottle." Because I snuck a bottle of whiskey. And he was like, "Hey, Jesko drank out that bottle." And I'm sitting there like, "That's amazing, dude. That's amazing." And then for like 20 minutes, I'm going on about how amazing this is. And at the same time, Grizz is like, "Leave me alone, dude. Like, I'm hanging out with Jesko."
I'm like, "Don't talk
to me. I see you every day, dude. I see you every day."
Now, you spoke with him much more directly.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing you'll agree with me. Did you understand a single word he said?
Not that night.
Yeah.
Because he was partying. So, I mean, he
I mean, it was like something else. Yeah. It was like his own language.
I kept looking at Grizz like he was talking to Jesko was dancing and turned around and looked at me and said something. And I was like, "Yeah." And then he'd be like, literally, it was like I do the funny James Brown. It was like, "Zababa Zabiga. Yeah. Zabuzabubububu. Yeah." And I looked at Grizz. I was like, "What is Jesko saying?" And he's just like, "Roll with it. Roll with it."
That was like the first time I met him. He was that way. I mean, he was just turned down for what? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, God love him. He was having a good time. So, I mean, when I was sitting with him, he was talking about the girls dancing, and you know we were admiring the pretty ladies on the dance floor. And then at one point he did mention sloppy slimy eggs, which just blew me away. I'm like, Jesko just said his line. But the next day I got to talk to him at his booth.
Right.
And I talked to him quite a bit, you know, and he's just he's living in Tennessee now, and he's just trying to trying to do something with his life right now. He's glad to not be in West Virginia, you know. That's kind of what I love about the white family.
Aren't we all?
The white family, they all blame each other for their problems.
Right.
But to be fair, they all do take advantage of Jesko just a little bit, you know, in his fame and kind of ride that. So I'm glad he's doing well. He's still with his new wife there in Tennessee, and he's got a new manager now who's just trying to help him out and trying to help him, I don't know, make a little money and live well in his later years.
And that's the type of people that you meet at Days of the Dead.
Yeah.
Seriously, like we on Friday, we got to the hotel early. I mean, like early.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're going to get to a hotel, if you're staying for the weekend, get there early. You don't want to be on the ninth floor, get there early. Seriously. Like, so we get to the hotel early and we go down to the bar and we're having drinks and we order some food. And, Stephen Piercy from Rat,
lead singer of Rat,
Rat Bastard,
is sitting at the bar, and at first he's chuckling at sci-fi shows that are on sci-fi.
Kevin
and Royo. We're sitting here and we do what we're always doing. We're doing social commentary, talking about people in the bar, laughing, making jokes, you know, just having a good old time, enjoying beer, enjoying food, and he joins in with us. So for an hour. Just you get the best experiences in life. And Days of the Dead, more so, because when you do shows in convention centers, you don't get that pre-show hangout as much as you do at like Days of the Dead with the intimacy of the bar in the Wyndham or the intimacy of the bar up in Chicago. Because Professor and I did that. There was a whole big hangout area. I mean, like you get that at these shows that you don't get at other shows, man. Like. And I think that's cool because the guests at these shows come down and hang out, man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you'll be pressed to find Bruce Campbell hanging out at the bar.
Right.
But him, and you look over and PJ Souls is having lunch with Nancy Allen.
right.
And hanging out, you know what I'm saying? And then John Russo walks in to have a few drinks to cope with the evening. I mean, like, that's the kind of stuff that you get to see at these these shows, man, and it's amazing. For those of you that have never been to a Days of the Dead show, like, go. There's one in Atlanta, there's one in Indianapolis, there's one in Chicago, and there's one in Los Angeles. You can look them up on daysofthedead.net. Find a show that's near you and at least check it out. If you can't go for the weekend, you're only a day player. Day players have just as much fun. I don't want to say just as much, but you have the potential to have just as much fun.
Oh, and
you have the potential to have those experiences.
Yeah.
So, I mean, at least go, man.
Absolutely.
More favorite moments?
Just a couple. One is before I tell another celebrity one, I'll tell another funny one. Teo and I were in the elevator. Probably running up to the hotel for a beer run or something like that, and we're coming down, and there's a gentleman in the elevator who's not there for Days of the Dead. And he looks at Teo and I, and he says, "What's going on here?" And I said, "Hey, man, it's Days of the Dead. It's a horror movie convention. There's lots of celebrities, actors, directors, things like that going on. It's a good time." And he goes, "Oh, okay." I said, "I know we all look a little weird, but we're a good crowd of people. No one's going to mess with you or anything like that." And it kind of lingers in silence for a few seconds, and Teo goes, "I have a college degree." And I said, "I'm almost finished my master's."
That's great.
I'm a preacher.
So much crammed into one elevator ride.
Yeah, right.
Like, what was it, like 20 seconds?
Yeah.
And you had 30 seconds of silence. That's funny.
You know, Teo could tell we still hadn't put him at ease. So Teo's like, "We've gone to college." But no, the last one I was going to tell about a celebrity is when I met David Naughton. Chad was there with me.
Grizz messed up on this one.
So. I didn't even do this for George Romero. Like, I don't know what it was about meeting David Naughton. Maybe I just wasn't on it. Maybe, the couple beers I had had, it just hit me.
You went full, son.
Oh, man. Just to be politically correct, I'll say full idiot.
You went full idiot, son.
I get up to him and I just literally don't know what to say. I just don't know what to say. Like, here's David Naughton just chilling, man, from one of my favorite werewolf movies, one of my favorite horror movies of all time. And he's just hanging out. And I'm like, I have shirt of this.
he points at a photo that's on David Naughton's table. It's like, "I have a shirt of this." And David Naughton, without missing a beat, pats him on the head like a 3-year-old child. He's like, "That's good, buddy.
You have this on a shirt?" I was like, "It's brown." Like, I really just, like, lost it. I kind of regained it a little bit. I was like, "Yeah, you know, I'm going to England in, like, 2016. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, but most of it's there. It hasn't changed." And, you know, so I kind of caught myself a little bit by that point. He was probably pretty sure I was special needs. So he was a good sport about it, good man, and enjoyed meeting me. But I really just went, "Bah, bah, bah, bah," like, just lost my mind.
It was "bah, bah, bah." Like, there were sentences that came out between "dip, dip, dip."
I think part of it, Mad Chan threw me off my game right before I met him. Mad Chan was like, "Now don't be making fun of me in front of David Naughton." And so then I just proceeded to totally be off my game. Don't be making fun of me. Don't be making jokes about me.
What's funny is that of everybody that I met that weekend, he was the most soothing. Like, I felt like I was on a talk radio show with him. It's just very calm and friendly.
Like, "Hi, welcome back to Professor Wagstaff."
Nancy Allen was nice and easy to meet too. She was very chatty and but my two of my favorite moments and with guests I met. And there was both kind of awkward things with both of them. It wasn't my fault for either one of them, but with Linnea, I'd brought the poster that Mad Chan had found for me at a previous convention to have signed. And I mean, it was a great experience. She was talking about how she hadn't seen that poster in forever, and she was excited when I unfolded it, and she talked about all kinds of stuff from the day they did the shoot, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she starts signing it, and she makes it out to Brian. And as I see her start to make a B, I was like, no. And it's like everything I had to not be rude to this woman I like a lot. But I was like, "No, Ryan." So then it was funny. She spent time trying to draw an R over it. I mean, it just looks like shit. I don't care. It's a funny story, and it was a nice experience. Yeah. And then with Feldman, he kept taking breaks. He was infuriating people. He, like, came back and signed for people that had to leave line and come back and were numbered. So there was 50 people. He took an hour and a half to sign for those 50 people and then took another break. And Days of the Dead people, I saw them start peeking their head in the room and wondering what was going on. they took care of it. So, you know, we all got to meet him and everything. He came back.
And he also came back on Sunday.
But when I got up to the table, yeah, he did. He signed for, I think, another 3 hours Sunday to kind of help make up for the time that he'd taken off. But when we got up there, the guy in front of me had a shirt, and it said Walter White. And it was like the Walt Disney logo.
Oh, yeah.
And he gets up there, and Feldman's manager goes, "Oh, yeah, I bet Walt Disney approved that." The guy joked. He's like, "Yeah, yeah, probably not, but I love the shirt." And Feldman's like, "Who's Walter White?" And everybody's like, "Breaking Bad." And he goes, "Okay." And, like, he starts to sign, and the guy goes, and, like, he's signing his thing, and he goes, he's like, "No, no, the show is great." He was like, "It was such a fantastic show. 6 seasons of it. I actually watched it all in one weekend." And the guy said that as he walked away. And Feldman starts to sign the stuff and meet me. And after he asked me my name, he looks up at me. He goes, "Who watches 6 seasons of anything in one weekend?" He's like, and you have to remember that smart ass voice of his that you know from movies like Stand By Me.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's like, "Is that even physically possible to watch that much television in a short span of time?" He's like, I don't get that. By then, I giggled and wanted to get out of there.
As much of a Corey Feldman fan as I was, if he'd have looked at me and said that, I'd have been like, "You can watch every episode of The Two Corys in a Friday afternoon." Yeah, that's just me, though. Yeah, so. I love The Two Corys. I always have.
Good experiences from all of us.
Right. Absolutely. No, and I think some of the things, man, I had... So, I love Derek Mears. Mm-hmm. This is a... heterosexual admiration of a man who I think is very hilarious. I had to clarify that because I don't love Derek Mears, but I love Derek Mears. He is so awesome. He's very hilarious. He's very unassuming. And there's been a few times, I've met him quite a few times, and every time I go back, he kind of recognizes my face a little bit to the point, and if he doesn't, he's a great actor in that respect, that he's just like, and he tries to guess, and he felt bad because he almost had my name, you know, and he's that kind of guy. Like, he's like, "Oh, I've met you a few times, you know," and it was like, yeah. And you just talk to him, and then I had to take a break from karaoke on Friday evening, and I walk outside, and in the hallway is Derek. So I go out, and I was like, "Derek, can I talk to you for a minute?" And he's like, "Yeah," and I'm half lit at this point. But I'm composed enough to talk to Derek Mears because I got some stuff I really want to say to the man. And I'm like, "Man, dude, I listened to the commentary, and in the documentary you talk about having alopecia and talking about looking up to Corey Feldman, and Corey Feldman was, in Friday Part 4, was a hero of yours, and I think that's awesome that you can speak out about this. I think that you're great. You did a great job in Holliston." I'm all over the place. Just
I walked by kissing, and saw you.
Seriously, I'm all over the place just kissing his ass. Like, literally, and I can say that because it's okay, because I really admire him that much, and you don't get the chance to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just walk up to Peyton Manning and just be like, "Dude, like, for all the seasons you were with Indianapolis, I thought this of you. And then when you went to Denver, I thought this, but I'm still a fan." You can't do that. But I can do that to this guy in this movie.
Yeah.
And I just go up, and I've seen him in so many things, and Predators and, you know, Pirates, and just, and I got to say all these things to him, and he was amazing. And he literally, I walk up to him on Saturday, like after having this Friday night discussion, so walk up to him on Saturday. And I hand him my mask, and he's like, "Chad, what's up?" I was like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" And he signs my mask, and he hands it back to me, and we take a photo, and he's like, "Free of charge." And I'm like, "Nah, dog, I can't do that. No, I can't do that. I understand why you're here. I admire you too much." He's like, "No, really." So I was like, "Dude, sign a picture to the Midwest Monsters. I'll hang it up where we record." He was like, "Okay, I'll do that. So he signed a picture for me and stuff. And then I saw him later, and I was like, "Hey, Derek, man," I gave him a Midwest Monsters koozie. He's like, "No, man, keep your merch, dude. I appreciate this." I was like, "Nah, man." And he was like, "Thank you." Like, genuinely, not this like, "Well, here, thanks," and threw it away. And he might have thrown it away since he left. But he's so genuine, man. Like, I had that experience with him. Derek Mears is an amazing person.
Sure. It was a nice experience.
For sure.
And he spoke, and when he told you it was free of charge, he said that was because you were so kind.
Yeah. And he said,
which I thought was cool. He's a nice
guy. I mean, he's just amazing. Hopefully, we can get Derek on the show. I've got the means to contact him, which he gave me, which he told us Friday he couldn't do it at the show, but he gave me the means to contact. So hopefully we can have Derek on the show. He's a good friend of Tyler's, so I mean, that'd be awesome. But that was one of mine, and then the other one was totally hanging out with one, Days of the Dead fans, and two, Nancy Allen. Like, I had the pleasure of interviewing Nancy Allen, and she's just an amazing person overall, and then just being around the fans, man, talking to other Days of the Dead fans. Like, we talked to thousands of them, and we recorded a few, and we're going to bring those to you right now. We're going to follow that up with the Nancy Allen
interview. Woohoo!
Right on.
Hi, this is Morgan Clark. I'm from Evansville, Indiana. This is my second year at Days of the Dead. It was a lot of fun. Met Bill Moseley, got some cool stuff. It's always a blast.
I'm Sharon Zimmer, and I'm from Anderson, Indiana. And I fucking love Days of the Dead. I come every year, so I'm just happy to be here, see everybody. It's exciting.
Hi, my name is Chris. I am from Adrian, Michigan, and I'm down here because my daughter, my 15-year-old daughter, loves the scary stuff.
My name is Rainmaker.
My name's Shannon, or Odette.
We're here to meet Corey Feldman, and I just met Doyle, and we met Bill Moseley.
How many times have you guys been to the show?
This is our second.
Hi, my name is Marjorie. I'm from Springfield, Illinois, and I was actually super excited to see Lawrence Harvey because I love The Human Centipede and Stephen Piercy, who I was in love with when I was a teenager.
I'm Arnie Carvalho. I'm here from Springfield, Illinois, and I was here primarily to meet the Nightbreed folk and see all of them, but got the highlight of the show, Tara Reid. I had her sign Return to Salem's Lot. She gave me a high five, said it was the first time she'd ever had to autograph that in her life, and it was her first movie, so that was a real experience of sorts.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here with Nancy Allen at the Days of the Dead Indianapolis. How you doing today, Nancy?
I'm doing great.
So how's your experience been here at Days of the Dead so far?
I've had a fabulous time. This is my first Days of the Dead, and it's my first convention in the Midwest.
Right on.
So I'm actually kind of liking it. The people are really sweet and really know the movies. It's been a lot of fun.
So what do you feel like they're after more? They which one of your movies in particular?
Well, I would say pretty much a lot of Mad Carrie fans and a lot of RoboCop fans.
Right on.
And then there's a smattering of Dress to Kill and Blowout, but mostly Carrie and RoboCop.
Oh, come on. Hey, you haven't seen a bunch of big Blowout posters walking around? I know I've got one or two.
No, I haven't, but I love it. It's one of my favorites.
Right on. So what has been your best convention experience so far?
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to say that. I think, you know, the first one you do is so, I guess I was just so awestruck by the fans and how much they know and how committed everybody is to the genre. And so I would say that each one has its own special little twist to it. But the consistency is the fans. They know more than I know about my movies, and that's what I do. All the lines, they know the scenes, so it's really a lot of fun.
Right on. And our final question is, what is your favorite movie that you've done today, or role that you've played, and what made it so important to you? What made it so great for you?
Now, Chan, that is an impossible question to answer, but I'm going to try.
Thank you.
I love Carrie because it was my first, you know, role, and that we were all starting out together, and it was just magical. I love Blowout because I didn't like the role, so I had to find a way to like her, and then I ended up loving the movie. And I love RoboCop because it was so different than anything. And Verhoeven's like a mad genius. So
right.
That's probably a way of at least telling a little bit of what I like.
I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. Thank you.
Thank you, Chan. Pleasure.
Appreciate it. No, seriously, dude. I went home and watched Carrie just to see her naked. I mean,
what? A babe. She still looked great. Right, that
like, I literally went home. I was like, Carrie. Like, 4 hours on the road, Carrie.
Well, at this portion of the show, talking about Sunday, last day of the con.
See, that's a bad day for you.
Yeah, I'm never there on Sundays because I'm working.
He works on Sundays.
Got a job on Sundays.
what do you do on Sundays?
Working for the man.
Yeah, working for the man.
The man.
The man.
Right.
So at this point of the show, I just turn it over to Professor and Mad Chan, and they can kind of tell you what went down on the Sunday.
So Sunday's usually just us.
Like, that's where we frantically do our thing.
Right. Like, here's the thing. We try to get what we can get on Friday, but we understand that Saturday is a money-making day for all celebrities, everybody involved in conventions.
And it's so more, yeah, crowded, too.
Right. Just, so we always kind of, we con on Saturdays.
We do us.
On Saturdays, and then on Sundays, we rush around frantically like chickens, but we always kind of get what we need to get. And this Sunday was no different.
Yep.
It was amazing. There were a lot of people there, man. There was we got to, like I said, we did some fan talking. We did a lot of things. We did a panel.
Yeah, the panel was really fun. The
panel was very interesting. It was
Women in Horror.
Yeah, it was Sybil Danning.
Who they know from. Too, yep.
And Camilla Keaton from I Spit on Your Grave. Nancy Allen, who we just talked to, who was in Carrie and RoboCop and Blowout, and with a couple of those with John Travolta, actually. Yeah. And then PJ Souls from, as you may know, from Halloween and from Carrie.
Yeah.
She always wore the red hat in Carrie. Rock and Roll High School. She was in Stripes, yeah. So we got to sit in on a panel, and we kind of walked in halfway through a panel with the cosplayers.
Yeah, Monsters Among Us,
the Wicked Beard and his crew, man. Like, these are people who have devoted their time to dressing up as your favorite characters. And these aren't, like, we put 15 minutes into, like, we did some makeup, we did some things. These guys put hundreds, thousands of dollars into costumes to exactly replica the character that you love.
That was a fun panel to catch the end of. Something I just wanted to mention that I didn't realize was how, I mean, you know, they're hardcore from all the effort and the creativity they put into it, but like the one dude there they talked about was driving up, I think it was from Alabama or Mississippi, got to Tennessee, he had problems with his car, drove back
to Mobile,
switched
Alabama.
Cars and drove up to Indiana. This is all on Thursday, just to get there to do this, and that kind of blew my mind. But that panel, after that with the Women in Horror, was really entertaining.
Man,
some interesting stuff.
They were talking about projects that they want to do, projects that they've done, talking about nudity and horror. I mean, like, any question that you'd want to ask these four ladies was amazing. Like, PJ Souls talked about, like, a passion projects about the Night Witches that she really wants to do. And Nancy Allen talked about, like, nudity, and Sybil Danning talked about
everything
under the sun, and how, like, how she's cool with being naked and everything. And, you know, and Camille Keaton talked about it. I mean, it was a great panel. Like,
I liked when she mentioned how they didn't include her at all for the I Spit on Your Grave remake.
Yeah.
Until they wanted some publicity. She's like, no one called me until it was time to promote the movie. Strangely.
Yeah, like, it's so neat because, like, friend of the show, Todd, was actually in the panel with us, and Todd got to ask a question. Like, anybody can ask a question. If you raise your hand and you get picked, like, it's not like you have to have special treatment. Like, you just raise your hand, like, I have a question. And they try to get to as many as they can, and Todd got to ask a question. He asked about what people thought about, or what the four ladies thought about remakes. And as you sit there looking at these ladies, they've all had a movie remade. Wait, Sybil Danning, did Sybil have one? I don't think Sybil had one as much. So maybe not Sybil, but like Nancy Allen, RoboCop, and Carrie were remade, and then Halloween was remade, and PJ was also in
Carrie,
and then I Spit on Your Grave. So Todd asked that question, and that was just, it was an awesome question. You get to
see
him
Nancy
all
Allen's
about it.
Response was, remake the bad ones.
Yes. She was like, don't remake the good movies. Yeah. So we get to sit in on these things, and it's amazing. So, like, I can't stress enough, man, if you guys get to come out to one of these things, there's panels. There was a Nightbreed panel. There was a Night of the Demons panel. There's Women in Horror panel this past weekend. Jab Pictures has a 48-hour film festival of, like, independence and what better-known stuff. And you can just go in and watch movies anytime that you're at the convention, like,
yeah,
5
the
p.m.
the entire weekend.
5 p.m. to 5 on Friday, 5 p.m. on Sunday. Like, they run movies the whole time. Like, there's so much to do at these conventions, man. You can go out. Man, Days of the Dead's amazing like that.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
I think that the panel was so interesting that it inspired us to do the interviews that we did. That kind of helped mold, you know, a couple of who we spoke with.
Right, right, because we had the pleasure, or I had the pleasure, we all, I guess we all did, we got to talk to PJ Souls. And it's just very quick, but we're going to hit you up with this PJ Souls interview right now, and then come on back.
Hey, Monsters, it's Matt Chan here, and I'm here with the lovely PJ Souls. How you doing today, PJ?
I'm doing great, totally great.
Are you having fun out here at Days of the Dead Indianapolis?
Oh, absolutely. I love being here at Days of the Dead, especially in Indy.
Do you have any favorite convention moments so far this weekend?
Gosh, you know what? I have had probably more people at this convention break into tears telling me they love either Linda from Halloween or Riff Randall from Rock and Roll High School. So the fact that these people have been so emotional with these characters of mine has just been very special to me, and I love it.
So do you have a favorite role so far that you've played, or...
Probably Rock and Roll High School, only because it was a lead role, and it was just so much fun. I mean, Riff Randall was just, you know, certainly not me in high school. I was a very different kind of high school girl, but it was so much fun to play her. So I would have to say, you know, Riff Randall from Rock and Roll High School, and of course, being with the Ramones.
What is the weirdest thing that a guest has had you sign so far?
Well, I actually signed a spatula this morning from Stripes, but one guy brought me an ice cream scoop, a rolling pin, and a spatula, and he was going to put them all in a box and hang them in his kitchen. And so that's, you know, it wasn't weird, but it was cute that, you know, usually I get a spatula or an ice cream scoop, but this guy brought all three, so I thought that was pretty cool.
We thank you for taking your time out, PJ.
Absolutely. Have a great day. And next time, you guys, you missed it this weekend, but next year, come to Days of the Dead, Indianapolis. It rocks.
Dude, when she was talking about the guy having the spatula, that was like, that's what I would have to
totally.
Come on, man. Stripes was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she even had that Stripes t-shirt that one.
Oh, dude. Like, awesome. I'm talking about Motorboat.
Well, and that's our coverage of Days of the Dead Indianapolis.
You guys are going to have to join us, man. You got to join us November, Chicago.
One of us.
Can't wait.
Already an impressive. Yeah, seriously. Like, that's list. That's where I'm at right now. Like, Rose McGowan, Barry Boswick. You got a mini Tron reunion. Warner. David Warner's going to be there. Like, it's already that amazing, guys. And they haven't even really started announcing guests yet.
Yep. Dexter's dad.
Oh, yes. James Remar is going to be there. I am so excited for that. Because there's got to be a picture of me with him, like, over my shoulder, like, whispering in my ear. Except I want him to do sweet nothing.
Like, yeah, that's almost half a year. So if you're interested, if we've piqued your interest, or Jesus, if now, if we've got your attention, you've got half a year. Start planning. Come join. It's a blast up there. It's easy to get to.
So. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Plus, there's this Denny's right down the road that has amazing food.
Grand Slam, which...
They're going to know us by name pretty soon.
Right on.
Oh, lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Days of the Dead convention, always a great time. Like I keep saying, it's the best con in the Midwest. And they also reach out to Atlanta and LA.
And thanks to Days of the Dead for...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Letting us do our thing.
One more time, man. We got Rick and Bill and Adolfo. And then big shout out again to... Jason Hoover.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Hoover.
Very good. All right, friends. Well, this has been another episode of the Midwest Monsters Podcast.
Yes,
I am one of your hosts, Grizzly Abner, joined by my dear friends,
Matt Chan.
Resurrect.
Y'all stay scared.
Man, how dope was Civil Dance back in the day?